Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hi, Miller and Condon. Welcome back. Hour number two. It's Des Moines Sports Station 106.3 KXNO. Bottom of the hour, David Kaplan joins us. Chicago Sports with Cappy coming up about 12:30. Centurion Stone of Iowa makes that weekly segment possible. We're grateful to the crew over there. Justin Luch, Joe Farron, and the whole team at Centurion Stone of Iowa. Thank you for making Cappy available to us on a weekly basis. Let's head to, well, Boston, Trent. Everybody's in Boston covering this team.
Not us.
Boy, it's a beautiful. Have you been? I asked you that before. You haven't, have you? It's a really cool city. Bill Seals is there. Have you been to Boston before, Bill Seals?
You know, my old buddy, Baseball Benny, back in the day, lived in Nashua.
Yeah.
Me and Tony and some other friends went out to visit him. So that was my only other experience out here. And I think it was maybe 2003. So it's been a while.
Yeah, it has been a while. Now that's great. Good. Glad you're there. So what's the schedule today? You'll watch them. They'll have a shoot around, then press conference availability, et cetera. What's timing wise, Bill? When does that start?
Right now Illinois is actually out on the floor. I'm sitting here watching them. We'll get them for like 15 minutes, and they will then usher the media out. So it's pretty small availability. It's closed. Last week, the public could come in and watch in Omaha, but for the regionals, they don't do that. So Iowa State from about 3 until 4 this afternoon will get some availability. We'll get 15 minutes with the Cyclones out here in the arena, and then TJ and the players as well. So no scrums with TJ today. We usually get him off on the side outside the locker room, but his voice is you know, he's had problems the last couple of years with that, and it's kind of returned out here. So nothing on the side with TJ. It'll just be up on the podium today.
It's catchy because Fenley had it last week.
Right. And Fenley's a guy that's had a lot of that, too.
Yeah.
A lot of hollering throughout the years from these coaches and getting their teams certainly in this position. It's a matchup against Illinois. We've heard it nationally. We've heard it locally. It is just two contrasting styles here, and I know that's going to be the big storyline going into it. What is your most concerning aspect, though, when you look at Illinois?
Well, Terrence Shannon certainly is gonna get a lot of Iowa State's attention, and understandably so. But he's over 31 points in the postseason so far. He's averaging. They're just crushing teams. So, but in that case, against teams like that, you almost worry about some of the secondary players because you know Iowa State's going to have their focus on Shannon and want to try and limit him in whatever way possible. I think that starts with kind of keeping him out of the paint and going downhill first off. But then you look at maybe somebody like a Marcus Damascus and kind of what he does. He's that tall, lengthy guard, and you wonder maybe if he might have some openings if Shannon, they want to take him, double him or whatever, and kind of take him out of the equation. But and then Dane Danger, his field goal percentage, it doesn't seem like he's missed many shots here. We saw last weekend in Omaha. So this is definitely a Illinois team that can hurt you in a number of ways in addition just to Terrence Shannon.
Yeah, that's for sure. And Danger had a terrible regular season until the final couple of weeks of it. Then they just, for whatever reason, he started to look like he did in the past. Hawkins can fill it up. We've seen him go for he gets going. He's trouble. You mentioned the mass Terrence Shannon. What about matchup wise? Will TJ, who do you think draws Terrence Shannon, or will it just be whatever side of the floor Shannon's on? Or will Gilbert be asked to lock down Shannon, or will it be Lipsy? How is TJ going to try and limit Terrence Shannon? Easier said than done, I get it. But on the other hand, man, this Iowa State defense, yikes.
Well, and I almost wonder maybe if Curtis Jones might be the primary on him, and then maybe they help on Curtis a little bit. I think you got to worry about, though, Iowa State's those guards have been responsible for so much scoring. And I don't know if you want to necessarily burn a Gilbert out on too much on defense. So, you know, maybe a Curtis Jones comes off the bench, plays 25 to 30 minutes tomorrow, and he's the primary on Shannon. We'll just have to see. I don't think that they can probably cover him with one guy. So yeah, we'll see what the approach is.
Very difficult to do, DeMass, the way that he's been posting up. I think that's been a big difference maker. He is assisting at a really high level. We saw Manchilovich. That's been Ken's guy and getting him going early in the game. And Hassan Ward, he's really starting to break out once again, getting more minutes than we've seen really during the middle portion of the Big 12 schedule. When you're looking at those next tier guys, you know, not talking about Lipsy, not talking about Keyshawn Gilbert, who's the key in this one out of that next tier guy if Iowa State's going to pull off the win?
Well, I think that it's just going to have to be a balanced effort in this game. TJ's 30-1, I think, in Ames over three seasons when they get four guys in double figures.
Wow.
You know, sounds like a simple thing to do, but
it's just do that every time.
Do that every time. Simple as that. So again, I think it's gonna need to be Lipsy, Gilbert, Momchilovich, and then, you know, maybe one of those other guys getting into double figures. Hassan Ward, we've seen just some brilliant stretches out of him. That first round game, gosh, was incredible. So it's going to take a balanced effort and defense fueling the offense and trying to get turnovers against this Illinois team and getting out in transition. That's been the recipe all season. I don't think tomorrow night will be any different.
You know, when Trey King, every now and then, right, he goes a couple of games where he's kind of not disappears on the offensive end of the floor, but then there's other nights where the K-State game in Kansas City might have been the best player on the floor offensively, and he's got that as part of his game. Yet on other nights, it's just not falling for him. Maybe this is a night where Trey King has the offense cranked up.
Well, I think anybody on the Iowa State team and anyone in the stands tomorrow night would love to see him come out and hit a three-pointer to get this team started tomorrow night. It just seems like in the first 5 or 10 minutes of a game, you kind of know what Trey King you're going to get that night. And we've seen, as you mentioned, Kenny, some games where he comes out and he'll hit the first shot of the game. It'll be one of those baseline three-pointers that he loves, and it just gets him going. So, again, we'll see early on tomorrow night if he hits one of those. He could be that fourth guy that scores in double figures for this team in a win.
After that, then, it's likely, with a win, UConn. Now, you don't want to peek forward when you got a matchup like this against Illinois, but we can do it here on the radio airwaves. We know the players are not doing that one. UConn's a behemoth. They're playing with the chip on their shoulder. They're going to be playing in their backyard. Does it have the feelings of Iowa State, Michigan State back at Auburn Hills and the same kind of environment that they saw in that last Elite Eight game?
Well, and I certainly, first off, I think it does. And it's kind of interesting, too, to even go beyond that game and look at who they played before that Michigan State game that year, and that was UCLA. And the comparisons between UCLA that year and this high-flying Illinois team that's putting up points in bunches right now. And it's just really, it's kind of eerie to think that, you know, they could go and play a team like this Illinois team, which Iowa State, by the way, just slobber knocked years ago in that, and then moved on to play Michigan State. So, but yes, I think it does have a very big feel. And we're gonna see tomorrow night just how well UConn turns out. I think it's going to be in droves. It's going to be like a home environment for them. But Iowa State's going to be ready for it. And as you've seen in the Big 12, some of those environments that they played in and they've had success in. So they'll need to draw back on that.
Big 10 tournament champ, Big 12 tournament champ, they collide tomorrow night. Unbelievable. So what have you seen as far? When did you get there, Bill? And was there a bunch of Cardinal and Gold on your flight? It's a long way. It's tough to get to. It's a pricey plane ticket, and just going up as we get closer to it. Much Cardinal and Gold on the flight that you were on?
Well, you know, I flew out of Kansas City, and
good
I
idea.
Had no issues at all. I tried to tell all my media colleagues, you know, fly out of Kansas City, fly out of Kansas City. It's half the price. Or, you know, nobody else took me up on my advice, and they all had travel issues coming out of Des Moines yesterday. You probably saw on Twitter on all the you know, guys getting in late and stuff. But I didn't have any issues. And I think in lieu of coming out of Kansas City, there really wasn't much Cardinal and gold on any of my flights. But you could kind of see last night we got TJ at about 9:15 last night after they got in after their travel delays. And there were some starting to file in into the team hotel, and you could kind of see that they were starting to maybe take that lobby over a little bit.
Well, it's something that we've been toying with the last couple of weeks. Zay Robinson, the outstanding wide receiver from West Des Moines Valley, looked like it was going to happen on his birthday right after the state basketball tournament. Waited a couple of weeks, and he officially made his announcement that he is going to be an Iowa State Cyclone. Tell us a little bit about the background of what you know about Zay's recruitment, and was it just as simple as kind of figuring out with Shieldhouse departing, wanted to wait, get a few more answers before he officially committed to Iowa State?
Well, I thought all along he had been an Iowa State lean, at least for several months now. And the Nate Shieldhouse moving on to the Rams thing, that was probably why he wanted to delay it a little bit. But even with Nate moving on, I thought that they were still in pretty good shape. And it wasn't just Nate that was recruiting him either. It was Matt Campbell taking an active effort. Probably the co-lead recruiter for him was Matt himself taking a heavy role. And Taylor Mauser, the new OC, it wasn't just a thing where when Mauser got the job, he was contacting Zay for the first time, because Taylor was involved as well. So I think that in the end, it made Zay feel comfortable enough to pick the Cyclones. And, you know, for him, I think with the injuries that he's had the last couple seasons in high school, I think he's ready to get into this spring and summer and just focus on himself, you know, getting himself at, you know, the best version of himself, as Matt Campbell will say, and not have to worry about any of the recruiting or any of that. He's got his home. He's going where he loves. And now he kind of can just worry about himself and having a big senior season for Valley.
What about Michael Jacobson's younger brother, Evan?
Right.
What's the chances? Is this going to get done, do you think?
Well, I think it's going to take a little while with him. He's a 2026, so just a high school.
Oh, he's that far away. Okay.
Yeah, and Iowa's had him out on visits, I believe, a couple times as well. So it would not surprise me to see the Hawks get into the running with him. And with that size, what, 6'6", 6'7", already, he's being recruited to play tight end. And who knows, he's a pretty good basketball player, too. And you saw that at Waukee as a sophomore as well as he played. So who knows, this might end up being a two-sport deal with him. He plays down at Mocan, which is one of the top AAU programs around down in Kansas City. So this, in the next couple of years, it could be interesting to see how his recruitment goes.
When you look at kind of the recruiting base for next season, is this it, at least out of the top 10 in the state of Iowa? Undecided guys, Nick Brooks, who was committed to Iowa. He's got offers all around the country. Mason Woods, LeVar's son, difficult to see him ending up in Ames out of that one. Would you anticipate this is it, and they'll kind of turn their attention both in surrounding states and then maybe some of that next tier of recruit?
Yeah, I think so. As far as in-state goes, I think you're right, Trent. That's probably it for the state of Iowa. You just you see how that goes, and they're already off, as you mentioned, with Evan Jacobson off to a good start in recruiting in-state as well. Carson Nielsen's another one from Waterloo that they're in pretty good with right now. So they're already on in-state wise to guys that are high school sophomores right now and getting a good foot in the door there.
Bill Seals covers Iowa State for CycloneReport.com, part of the Rivals Network. You can follow him on Twitter at William Seals. He's in Boston covering the Sweet 16 and hopefully an Elite 8 turnaround on Saturday. Bill, thanks for coming on. Obviously, you'll have all the coverage, all the press conferences, etc., all the audio you can grab at CycloneReport.com throughout the day and throughout the stay in Boston. Bill, enjoy yourself. It's a wonderful city. Have you been to Cheers yet?
You know, that was the wife's first stop yesterday. We actually got a car out here, believe it or not. I brought my daughter out. She's 11. She gets a week out of school. So the first stop was the Cheers bar for a lunch, and they're, you know, they're out going to an aquarium right now. So it's kind of nice, you know, these 3 weeks of March Madness get long, and it's nice to have some family along the way. So they're having a good time.
Enjoy yourself, Bill. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it, Bill Seals. Thank you. Talk to you next week.
Sounds good, guys. Have a good one.
Yep, thank you. Bill Seals on the road with the Cyclones for CycloneReport.com.
I was, after we talked about the last Elite Eight game for Iowa State, and that's what they'll have with a victory, brought up the box score from that Sweet 16 matchup against UCLA.
What a game it was.
That was domination.
Refresh my memory.
All right, so looking at the Iowa State box score, as we knew throughout the course of the season, not a whole lot of depth in that team. It was a whole lot of 1-5.
Yeah, and a whole lot of number 5.
Yes, a little Martin Rancic off the bench, a little Paul Shirley, but out of the starters, this is what they did. A balanced attack, leading with 16 points from three different players. Michael Nurse, Marcus Fizer, and Stevie Johnson, all with 16. Tinsley also had 14 in the game, and Cantrell Horton,
yeah.
He had 9 in that one, so very balanced attack.
Does Cantrell Horton, does Tony Perkins remind
you
at all of
it's almost their facial.
Their facial, yes. Kind of, I think Horton was bigger, thicker.
They're not fat.
No,
but they just,
no, they're
kind
big.
Of have a chunky face.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And yeah, absolutely. Yeah. When you were saying that, right when you went, that's exactly where my mind went. UCLA that season had Earl Watson, tremendous point guard.
Yeah.
Jerome Macioso, Jason Capono, Sean Farnham, who you see often on
TV,
ESPN.
Yeah, yeah.
Jerron Rush, the Kareem Rush's younger brother, if I remember. Ryan Bailey, Toby Bailey's younger brother was on that team. Remember big Dan Gedzurek, the big stiff in the middle? He was awful. and I think he got a cup of coffee in the NBA. But yeah, there's one thing I love more than anything. You know, when we get out
going
to Vegas,
back.
Me and Palm, we will sit in a booth. And we will just talk about old basketball, old college basketball, yeah. and bring it up box scores like this and just remembering some of these. I mean, this is wheelhouse time. This was absolutely, and I said it, I was in college. I was at Iowa at the time. Mm-hmm. Of course I had to hate Iowa State, right?
Sure.
If they had anything else across their chest, they would have been my favorite team in the country that year. They were so entertaining.
They were
incredible to watch. And that was my second year at Iowa. So though that was the first time I was able to watch all the Iowa State games. Growing up, they weren't on.
Right.
But at that time, it was KCRG had the Big 12 network, if you will. So those weekend games were always on.
Sponsored by Pacific 66.
Yes, absolutely. Phillips 66. Yeah, and those games for the first time, and I watched almost every single one of them. They were so entertaining. Just for, at the time, it was hard to root for that Cardinal and Gold. They were awesome to watch.
Pacific 66 is the Canadian Phillips.
Oh, is it?
That's
really?
Right. Yeah, my Canadian was showing.
Is it owned by the same company?
It has to be. I would think, right? It's the same logo, just is Phillips it? Is Pacific.
Interesting.
Yeah, anyways, 25 afternoon. Let's go to Chicago when we come back.
We'll you want to talk some White Sox or something?
Well, we have to bring up the win total just to see what Cappy's doing. Which, did I play that in my Mediacom picks?
I didn't look at yours very quickly. I like to have it fresh when we go in and see what you have.
Yeah, I don't remember what I had.
I got a lot. Be ready for that when we get to our picks. You can catch our television show, Talking Sports Wagering, Inside the Numbers on Mediacoms 4 times throughout the course of the weekend.
We tape it today. It airs tomorrow for the first time, right?
Thursday, Friday, a couple times on Saturday.
Saturday morning, I believe. We'll take our time out, come back, and head to Chicago and catch up with the Cap Man. He's next. It's Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Come on, baby, don't you wanna go?
Welcome back. Just past 12:30 on a Wednesday. Let's talk some White Sox, shall we?
No. How about that milkshake, though?
Yes, the $15 one?
Yes.
If you're looking for a reason to go watch the Sox, that might be it. Boy, that did look good. Now, I could do without the marshmallows.
Oh, that doesn't do it for you.
Oh, no, no, but it did look good. Hello, David Kaplan. How are you, my friend?
I am awesome. I'll actually be at Guaranteed Rate tomorrow. No milkshake for me, but I will be at the ballpark.
And will it sell out tomorrow? Cap opening day should, right?
No.
Even on opening day, it won't sell out.
No.
I mean, it's a bad product. I get it, but it's opening day.
It doesn't matter. They're not getting 38,000 people in there. Yeah. I'll be shocked.
What would they get? Would over under 30?
I'll go under.
Oh, wow, not good. Not good. Well, we'll start baseball-wise, and since we're on the White Sox, their total is 58.5, I think, or something ridiculously low like that. Cap, it's going to be an awful year on the South Side. I don't know what they've got to look forward to. I don't. Maybe seeing some of these youngsters come up at some point and try and, you know, cut their teeth and at least get their clock going and a little bit of experience. What would be a... not a successful season, I guess. What would make White Sox fans happy in 2024?
Wow, what would make White Sox fans happy in 2024? Are we not including a sale of the team?
That could be it. That might
and
be
I
it,
like
right?
Jerry, he's a good man.
Yeah.
But where this franchise is at, and the state of the Bulls, who April 1st is Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So we got May, June, July. So we're at, I think, 32 months on Monday that the Bulls have not traded a human being.
That's wild.
32 months? Why do you think I nicknamed them the Settlers?
Yeah, it's true.
That's what they are. Yeah. They're a group of freaking settlers. The White Sox, they're a train wreck.
Mm-hmm.
They are a train wreck. I mean... you got to be kidding me when you look at their roster. We played a game on the air today. I'm sure they weren't thrilled with us, but we did. Dead guy or 40-man roster guy for the White
Sox? That's awesome.
And my producer, Shay,
yeah.
Shay Norling, is giving us names. I'm like, there's no way that that's a major league player.
Yeah.
Yes, he is. I'm like, you got to be kidding.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Well, the good news is we do have the North Side.
Yes, indeed.
Ken and I are both in. We know you're a fan, but you also looked at things very objectively here. I don't get the Cardinal love. Ken doesn't get the Cardinal love. The Cubs, I think, are far and away. I was doing a bunch of my over-under stuff last night. I was looking at the Pythag, and this team should have won 91 games last year, according to Pythag. I mean, this team should have been better. The bullpen faltered and had the losses to Arizona that added up here. I think this is a 90-win team. Where am I wrong on that?
Wow. You said 90
win team, yes.
I have them at 87, so we're not far apart.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I think it's a good team. I don't think yet it's an elite team, simply because I don't know, is Matt Shaw coming here this year? Is Cade Horton coming up this year? Is Jameson Taillon going to have a bounce back once he gets off the injured list? Is Jordan Wicks going to be able to handle... There's a big difference. I was talking about this today. A big difference coming up in August. Boy, we hope we get something out of the kid because we don't have anything else in the system ready to go. And so you make 8-10 spot starts and you ramp up and you do all you can. Hey, kid, you're in the rotation. Every fifth freaking day, you better get ready. So when you pitched on Monday and you're going to go again on Saturday, what are you doing Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday to get yourself ready to do it again? Oh, you got your head kicked in? Too bad. You get the ball in five more days. We'll find out. So I have a little reservation. My wife is much more of a negative Cub fan than me. She thinks I'm far too – she says she's realistic. She's
yes.
here next to me. I think she's far too negative and pessimistic. So I got 87 wins, and I haven't won in the division.
Yeah, I think they're going to win the division. I'm with you there. What's the is morale? Did he win the job? Will he be the starting third baseman tomorrow?
He will be. He'll be starting at third base. And rather than, the right way to put this, rather than going out and signing a journeyman like Matt Chapman, who's not a bad player. Right. I'm not denigrating him. There comes a point, and Craig Counsell said this, there comes a point where you got kids in your system. Why not let them play? Like, why should, I don't know if you remember this name, Isaac Paredes hit 31 home runs for Tampa last year. Isaac Paredes was a Cub. We signed him at age 16. Why should he be killing it in Tampa because we didn't have the wherewithal, the fortitude to play a kid because we had to go get some other veteran to stick over there or play freaking Nick Madrigal? So why? I don't understand that old school mentality, and I think having Counsell has changed it.
We look at the rotation, and the rotation, Steele becoming a star, an opportunity, I think, for him to make a big step up even this season. What about a bounce back, if you will, from Kyle Hendricks? Where are your expectation level with him?
I fully expect him to have a solid year. Look, he's never going to be the guy that, wow, here we go. It's one and two, two men on it, two outs in the sixth, and we're trying to get one more out, and he's going to blow you away at 99 at the top of the zone. That's just not who he is. But when he's locked in and his mechanics are correct, I'll tell you a quick story. Chris Bosio, who's retired, he was the pitching coach on the 2016 World Series team. Chris called me one night. He's not going to reach out and call his former players. Then it's right. They got a pitching coach. He said, you still talk with Hendricks? I said, yeah, I have a great relationship with Kyle. He said, do me a favor. Would you tell him when you see him at the ballpark tomorrow, he's 6 inches too high with his back leg. And so when he's following through, his back leg is too high, and that's why he's driving the ball too far down and it sails on him. And I said, okay. Not really understanding what he was saying because I'm not a major league pitcher. I ended up calling Kyle, and he said, thank you very much. And he went back in, and I was really excited to watch his next few starts. His next 10 starts were electric. Tommy Hotovy, their pitching coach, had picked up the same exact thing. And so, you know, hearing it from different voices, he was able to make an adjustment, and he was amazing.
Yeah, and look, they don't have to wheel him out on opening day. He's not their ace or start two. He's what, probably the four-man this year, Cap?
Once Tyone comes back, if Tyone's pitching well, let's see. You're going to go Steele. And then
Imanaga?
I mean, I think Imanaga at the start is not going to be like a top three guy.
Okay.
I think he's going to be like a four till he at least gets comfortable in the big league.
Yeah.
So Wicks. I bet Hendricks is the three.
Okay.
Two would probably be Tyone. You got Jordan Wicks in there somewhere. So once Tyone's back, I would bet it goes Steele, Tyone, Hendricks, Imanaga, Wicks.
Okay, so Wicks are right at the back then. All right. So concern is what? Bullpen?
Concern is, for me,
yes.
For sure bullpen.
Okay.
For sure.
What kind of spring?
Good. It's not elite.
Right.
But their bullpen, I think they're still arm short. We'll see.
What kind of spring did Kwas have?
He's okay.
Mm-hmm.
He's not bad. He's got good stuff. We got to remember that this is a kid in Jose Kwas, who was a converted position player. And so he's still learning how to pitch. And when you pitch in Kansas City and nobody really cares beyond June because your team stinks,
yeah,
you can make your share of mistakes. But when you've got really electric stuff, but you're still learning how to pitch, and you come to Chicago, Doug Melvin, you remember Doug Melvin?
Yes.
The old GM?
Yeah.
I ran into Doug Melvin one day, and they had a closer named Derek Turnbow. And Derek Turnbow had gotten off to this amazing start. He had like 17 saves in the first 2 months. And I said, wow, that kid's killing it. I wish we had that guy. He said, let me just tell you something, Cap. There's a big difference closing in Milwaukee when we're 11 games back by June and taking the ball on a Friday afternoon at Wrigley with two men on, and we bring you in to get a big out with 42,000 people going crazy with expectation of winning. He said there's a big difference in how you approach the game. We'll find out.
One more, and then we'll move to football. Alzolay, spring for him, and is there any concern at the back of that bullpen?
I don't have concern. Now, do I wish they had him in the eighth inning and a lockdown, oh my goodness, Josh Hader, sure. But they were never going to spend that kind of money on Josh Hader. And so we'll see if this kid can stay healthy and if he can do the job and be that guy. That would be amazing. But I like Alzolay. He's a competitor. He's got good stuff. Can he stay healthy? He didn't stay healthy all last year. Mm-hmm. He was good till he got hurt. So that one's a question for me.
Bears will get the Hall of Fame game. That means they get an extra week of camp, an extra 4 days of practice with Caleb Williams. I mean, you can't pick this anything other than a positive, or can you, Cap?
Oh, my God. This is, you get extra training camp, you get an extra game, and I truly believe that Caleb Williams, I've been telling you guys this for months, that was the move they were going to make. And Ryan Poles said this was yesterday. He was doing a Pat McAfee interview, and he said this was never about Justin versus Caleb or the rest of the draft class at quarterback. This was about resetting the rookie salary slot and seeing if we can build a champion with a quarterback on a rookie deal. That's it. This was not Justin versus Caleb. Justin had no chance of being the guy here.
Right.
Never. And now that they've got the number one pick and they're going to get this kid, this city has no idea what's about to hit it.
It's true. Are they fielding phone calls on the one pick, Cap? Did he mention
no,
that at all?
No, they're done.
Okay.
No, they're done.
So it's a done deal, and then the draft gets interesting at two, and then obviously which way the quarterbacks fall. All right, so they'd still...
Yeah, the only way is if he, God forbid, has a medical issue when he does his medicals next week here, but nobody expects that.
Mm-hmm. The nine is fascinating. I mean, the board, if it does go, the first four go quarterbacks, then all of a sudden those receivers start getting pushed down. I mean, the first receiver off the board, Harrison, might be to the five, and there's going to be some offensive linemen needy teams in there. So my point being is, Cap, you might get O'Dunes or you might get Neighbors at nine. I know that offensive linemen would also work for the Bears, but if there's one of those big three receivers and it's starting to look like one would be available, don't you have to pull the trigger there?
If you told me Joe Alt is there when I am picking,
he might
picking the offensive line.
Yeah.
I have to. We're talking about a future All-Pro is what everything I've read and heard is that kid. Well, if I could plug and play a left tackle to go with my second-year right tackle, who everyone believes is going to be an All-Pro, I'm giving my young quarterback an amazing situation, and I can find a receiver. Now, if you told me Joe Alt is not on the board, he's gone, and I can get Odunze or Neighbors, and I know Neighbors is the one that Bears want.
Okay.
They love him.
Yep.
If I could get that kid, yeah, then I'm taking him.
And last thing, Cap, stadium update. Looks like Arlington Heights is out, or is that just chin music? What's the latest on the stadium?
So they have said that the Bears, that they're locked in on building in the city. The problem is, the things that I saw yesterday are they want to reroute Lakeshore Drive to go underneath part of the museum campus. We're talking about north of $1 billion in infrastructure. Where is this city coming up with that kind of money? I think in the end, Kevin Warren says, I really wanted it to be in the city, but we're going to build in Arlington Heights. That's what I think happens. Maybe I'll be proven wrong. If he can come up with the money to get all this infrastructure in Chicago done, I think his preference is to be in the city. We'll see.
Good stuff, Cap. Enjoy opening day tomorrow. Appreciate you coming on.
All right, I'll get that milkshake for you.
Yeah, boy, yeah. We need a review. Certainly look good in the tweet. Thanks, buddy. Talk to you next week.
See you.
Yep, see you, pal. David Kaplan. Purposely didn't ask him about Illinois-Iowa State.
Because
they don't care.
They don't care.
They just don't care. And it never came up on their show today.
If Illinois gets to the final
yesterday,
four, maybe. It's a different world.
Maybe Monday of championship.
That
Championship
could do it.
Monday, they might be forced to talk about it. It's 12:45. Trent's plays of the day are next. It's Miller and Condon. We're on Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO.
Trent's pick of the day is brought to you by Circus Sports. Download the Circus Sports app today to play with Trent or against him.
All right, Trent's plays of the day coming up momentarily. Centurion Stone of Iowa, they sponsor Cappy. Thank you for that last piece. Centurion Stone of Iowa, They are located at 5525 Northeast 22nd Street in Des Moines, and they have Saturday hours, which is great for those of us who have to work that want to get over to the showroom but can't make it work during the day. Saturday morning from 8 until noon, CenturionStoneOfIowa.com. Exterior siding, your fireplace wants an upgrade, or even an entire interior wall, or a portion of which Centurion Stone will have exactly what you are looking for if indeed there's a need for manufactured or natural stone veneer products. All right, Trent, your play of the day. Boy, I'll tell you what, those games yesterday, they were pretty damn good.
They were entertaining,
The NIT was pretty good yesterday. Is that where you're going today?
I got one play there. I'm grabbing the points with UCLA. That's the only one I could get to. I was digging hard. I was looking at women's.
You're grabbing the points with who?
UNLV.
UNLV.
Yeah, five and a half.
5.5 against Seton Hall?
Against Seton Hall. So jumped on that one.
Yep.
That's the only play I have currently, though. What? It is actually a play of the day. Well, also last night, a lot of my handicapping was about baseball.
Baseball.
So that was a huge, huge component of it.
What, futures, like for a season?
Yes. Yep. Love the Rays. Got them to win the AL East at plus 725.
Yeah, probably the fourth choice. But the Yankees are always going to take money. The Orioles are taking money. Yep. Jays are taking money.
I took that band with Orioles between 88 and 93.
Explain that one. Do we have time one more
time?
Yeah,
yeah. So it's basically they have a group of five. This is on DraftKings. They have these. A group of five win totals, different varying values of them, for each Major League Baseball team. So I bet the Orioles to win between 88 and 93 games at plus 255.
It's a decent price.
And going into that final weekend, I mean, hedging opportunities there to at least guarantee a profit at that price. Mm-hmm. I like that one. I know Jackson Holliday's not going to begin the season with the Orioles.
Not begin, but he will be there.
And his dad, Matt, not real pleased about it.
Yeah, Chris Bryant's dad was probably pissed off, too.
Still, plus 550 for him to win AL Rookie of the Year.
That's
I took
all
a stab
is.
At that one. Thought that was worth the price. Two Cy Young picks, two regional guys.
Okay.
I told you earlier, Pablo Lopez, 11-1.
That's a good one.
How about Justin Steele at 22-1?
Big price.
I like it.
Cubs are going to win the division. Well, I think they're going to win the division. I do, too. Although I think the Cards are going to be better. They finished last year. That's not going to happen again.
Only one way to go.
Indeed. We're going to go out of here and make way for Murph and Andy. They're next. They'll take you until 3. The Drive with Heather and Sean from 3 until 6. We're Miller and Condon weekdays. 11-1, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO.